Book of Colossians, chapter number 2. I'm glad I know the Lord. I appreciate the Lord of helping us. And you pray for us, the Lord to help us tonight. Colossians, chapter number 2. And we'll start reading. Everybody finds that place able and can. Let's stand together. Colossians, chapter number 2. One of the great passages in your King James Bible. And we'll pick up reading in there. And I'll try to deliver the burden of our heart tonight. I really feel like. And I've been praying, and particularly, I guess the target would be young Christians. And the Lord would help us tonight maybe to preach, and I want to try to get some things shored up. I want to say this, and I hope everybody will understand that everything that we base what we believe on comes out of this book right here. And if it don't come out of this book, I ain't much interested in what it is. I don't. What grandma and granddaddy said might have been good, but it might have been straight out of hell. You better go by what this right here says. And when it comes time to lay my head down on something that's real, I'm glad I've got a Bible that I can hold in my hand. I don't have to speak Latin. I ain't got to go through the Pope. I don't have to have somebody else tell me what it says. I'm glad I got a Bible, friend. I can read what thus saith the Word of God. Amen. Bible says in Colossians chapter number 2, I'm going to start reading in verse number 8. Colossians 2 verse 8 said, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom." You want to do a Bible study sometime just to take those two words right there, "in whom," and to trace it out. And every time you read it, it'll cause you to shout a little while. He said, "In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being quickened in your sins and transgression and your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." And verse 15, he said, "Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you this evening. And to God in heaven, I'd pray for a few minutes of time. I'd ask you, Lord, you'd help us, and God, to preach the Word of God. And Lord, as it is to people as they are. And Father, I really do pray tonight. And Lord, that if this is the last time and I'd ever get to stand and proclaim the Word of God, I pray that you'd help it to be the best time. I pray, Father God, that if tonight's the last night and I ever get to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray, God, help me to preach Him bigger than I ever had before. Lord God in heaven, I pray that, Lord Jesus, that the Word of God would find a safe lodging place in our hearts. I pray, God, that you would help us tonight. And Lord, that we might grow by the word of an almighty God. Help us, Lord Jesus, we need you. I pray, God, put us in that secret place. Lord, we pray against anything that might try to hinder. And Lord, I'd ask you tonight to help us. And Lord, by the aid of the Holy Ghost, Lord, we pray all these things in Christ's name. And for his sake I beg, amen and amen. I want to say this to you again. I want you sort of maybe to understand that whenever this book is written, the book of Colossae, essentially what's happened to this little group of believers has been an awful lot of outside influence. And all of this influence has coming in on top of them and saying, "All right, well, yeah. Well, you're saved, but hey, you got to do this and you got to do that. And yeah, Jesus Christ is a good place to start. But now you got to add a little something other to that. But let me say this to you, friend. Christ isn't just a good place to start. Thank God he's the only place to start, and he'll be the only one to finish. He said that he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. Thank God he said that he's the author of eternal salvation. He's the one that started it, and thank God he'll be the one that'll end it. Amen. I got to thinking about this, and the Lord got to deal in my heart. I'm going to call your attention to two things. And verse number 8, he said, beware lest any man spoil you. And then in verse number 10, he said, and ye are complete in him. I'm going to preach on this salt tonight. Are you complete or completely spoiled? Amen. Are you complete or completely spoiled? That's essentially what the Apostle Paul does in just this passage here. It's by means of salvation and talking about what it is. He goes down through here and he begins to list off everything that might spoil salvation. Oh, I want you to listen to me, friend, and hear me very carefully tonight. There's an awful lot of things running around that claim salvation. If there was ever a time that, thank God, folks are more confused than they are now, I don't know when it would be. You've got Oprah saying that, thank God, you can go any way you want to. It doesn't matter, we're all going to the same place. You got Joel Osteen saying that, thank God, he can't tell who's going to heaven. If somebody's sincere enough, they'll go to heaven. But that's not what the Bible says. Amen. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by me. Amen. If you don't come by Christ, you ain't coming. Amen. Oh, listen, friend. And this passage of scripture, you find this. And you just stay with me tonight. We're going to stay real close to the text. And we're going to keep it in its context. And so everybody sees just exactly what Paul said right here. Amen. Here's the first thing I want you to see. And the first thing that'll spoil salvation is rationalism. And watch what he said. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, a vain deceit, after the tradition of men. He said this, thank God, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. In other words, what he's saying this, and he starts talking about philosophy. And that word philosophy, philo means to love, and sophy means wisdom. And so we find it's the love of wisdom. In other words, it's man's reason. And here's what I want you to understand. Hey, it's a lot of folks that they're trying to reason their way through salvation. But listen to me, friend. And God does not care what you think. Amen. I won't be very plain about that. And God's not interested in how you think it makes sense to come to God. And God's provided his means. I want you to hear me today, friend. And the gospel is not even an offer. Amen. It's not saying, here it is. You ought to come get it. And the gospel is a proclamation. And that, thank God, God's provided a means. That means is by his son. And if you try to reason outside of his son, you'll find out your reasoning will end you up in hell. Amen. Here's what we find. I thought about in 2 Kings. Whenever you find Naaman showing up, and you remember the man of God said, he said, go out there. He said, and dip yourself 7 times in the river Jordan. He said, why would I do that? I paraphrase here. He said, are not the rivers of Damascus and Pharpar? He said, far greater. Oh, he said, behold, I thought that the man of God come out and clap his hands over me. Hey, listen, friend, I'm going to tell you. He thought a lot of things, and if he'd have stuck to his thinking, he'd have died a leper, amen. But oh, thank God. I thought about over there in the book of Matthew, whenever that rich young ruler came to him. He said, good master, what good things shall I do to inherit eternal life? Hey, you know what he's talking? That's the reasoning of men. That reason's up here. That's to say, what good thing? What good thing do I need to do? I mean, listen, how good do you got to be? Oh, listen to me, friend. If we're going on our goodness, how good do you got to be in order to be born again by the grace of God? Do you got to be pretty good? Hey, you got to be real good? Hey, you got to be completely good? How good you got to be? And for how long do you got to be it? Amen. Oh, I tell you what the Bible says, and the Bible's real plain. He said, there is none. Hey, last time I checked, Webster 1828, I put a big zero by that. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Amen. And so God sent and his son. And so we don't go to heaven and based on our own reasoning. There's a lot of folks, and thank God, listen, if they could do away with the lamb, if they could do away with the blood, if they try to figure it out and say just worship Confucius and just worship Buddha and just go through the Pope and just be pretty good to your neighbor and that'll get you into heaven. But I'm telling you, that'll spoil salvation. Amen. Oh, listen, friend, and be very careful about, and be very careful about rationalism. I want you to watch on down here with me in verse 16. And we've got a lot of this going on in our day. Not only we find rationalism, but in verse 16, and we find legalism. And verse 16 says this, and let no man judge you. He said, in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or of the Sabbath days. And so what they do is they show up, and they say, here. He said, listen, you got to, you started off in Christ, but you got to keep a certain set of laws, and you got to keep a certain set of rules, and if you keep those, you can go to heaven. Amen. The only problem is that's not so. Amen. Thank God. I'll tell you this. We always talk about the Ten Commandments, but that's not all that there are. I mean, you're talking about 600, and I get them last ones mixed up, but I think it at 631 commandments, and to bless God, you ain't even kept the first 10, and let alone the other 621 of them. Amen. And so just how good your rules are standard. And you say, well, your dress has got to drag the ground. And well, what about the Muslim? Will that get to him in? Amen. I mean, somebody help me right there. How will that get to Muslim in? I mean, listen, these folks say, hey, think if they read their Bible through enough times, and reading your Bible will get you through. But my friend, that'll not do it. Hey, think if they pray enough times, if they do all those things. I thought about in 1510. I think it is Martin Luther and went over there into Rome and he climbed up those steps on his knees. And every time he went 28 steps, and every time he went up another step, he would pray another prayer. And when he got to the top of those steps, he said, I don't have any idea whether that did me any good or not. Amen. But I'll tell you this, thank God. At one trip down to Calvary, at one time when I bowed my knee, at one time when I called on Christ, I'm talking about, friend, you talking about, I never have had to wonder if that done me any good. Amen. It saved me, thank God. Oh, listen. I mean, we're dealing in a time of legalism when folks say this is what you got to do. And listen, now look here at me. I want you, and don't mistake what I'm saying, all right? And the Bible's very clear. There are things. And the Apostle Paul said in the book of Hebrews, he said, beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you, of things that accompany salvation. And Ephesians chapter number 2, and the Bible said, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do a good work, which God hath before ordained, and we should walk in them. In other words, if you're saved, hey, you ought to do what's right. Amen. Amen. I think that's right. Don't you think that's right? Smile at me right there. That's right. Hey, you ought to walk right. You ought to talk right. You ought to dress right. Hey, you ought to do all those things. How about you do all those things without Christ, and you'll still die in your sins. Still die in your sins. I'm afraid that there's so many folks coming in the house of God and they have adopted the right mindset and they have adopted the right attire, but they never have had no affections for the Lord. And so they come in and they go out and they know the songs and they like the songs and they enjoy the fellowship. But my friend, that's not what will get you into heaven. Amen. Hey, you might watch out for legalism. And then I want you to watch this. This is, I mean, we're going to stay real close to the Bible all night long. And verse number 18, watch what the Bible said in verse 18. And we find rationalism will spoil salvation. And we find legalism will spoil salvation. And we find right here in this place that, my friend, that mysticism will spoil salvation. And verse 18, he said, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen. And the Bible said, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind. I'll tell you what we're in danger of today. Here's all the extra biblical things. Oh, listen now. I want you to hear me, friend. I want everybody to look up here. All my young folks, I want you to listen to me real good right here. All right, thank God. We do not compare our salvation experience with somebody else. That'll mess you up. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, that'll mess mess you up. And the book of Mark, we find that two blind men, I say this all the time, that one blind man, the Lord spit on his eyes. Another blind man in the book of John, and the Lord spit on the ground and made spittle and anointed his eyes. Another blind man, H.A., and God just spoke to him. And now listen, all three of them would have walked away, and all three of them had different experiences, but all three of them had left seeing, amen. Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you, hey, so many folk come in the house of God, and they're waiting on this feeling. They'll say, well, listen, I wasn't moved to tears. And well, I'm going to tell you this, hey, God, that ain't got not one, look at me. And this is as spiritual, this is as Greek as I know. Ain't got one cotton picking thing to do with it, amen. I mean, that don't have nothing to do with nothing. And some folk will say, well, I didn't shout. I've got nothing to do with nothing. And some folks did shout. That still got nothing to do with nothing, amen. I mean, thank God, I'm glad you did. I mean, listen, it don't take much for me to cry. I mean, I'm a crier. And the Lord gets to just goosing me a little bit. Hey, some in here ain't never shed a tear. That doesn't mean one person's right and others wrong. And God fearfully and wonderfully made us that way. But my friend, we do not go by a sensationalism and mysticism. I don't know if you're saved, amen. Oh, hear me today, friend. I got faking in our day. How many folks just sit back and then somebody will say something like this? They'll say, well, the Lord, I mean, the Lord came down to where I was at and he talked to me. Now look at me, listen to me. Everybody listen real good. No, he did not, amen. You did not hear an audible voice. You might have heard the Holy Ghost still on the inside of your heart. God might have been dealing with you over your sins through the scripture. But there's not one person sitting under the sound of my voice that has heard the voice of God. And if you have, you've got medical problems, amen. Now listen to me, friend. Hey, something wrong, amen. The only people that say that, according to this, is people that have made it up in their minds, amen. In other words, it didn't happen. They didn't hear no voices. And they ain't seen no visions, amen. And now listen to me, y'all listen. Hey, thank God we might get a little tight before it gets a little loose. But I won't preach anyhow. Hey, folks, and they say, well, how we used to sing an old song. Maybe some of y'all know his. I say, well, God, he sent an angel. It's my eyes, only my eyes could see. And the boy, I used to like singing that song. I mean, it stirred me up. Feller sitting on the edge of despair on the side of the bridge. And then God sent an angel. The only problem is, thank God, that's not in the Bible, amen. Are y'all listening to me? I mean, that's Old Testament. God has spoken unto us in these last days by his Son. Hey, you don't get no special new voices. Hey, you don't get no new vision. And if you do, you're probably wrong, amen. Amen, thank God. You don't listen to care of heaven. Hey, you know, they're just entire. I mean, if Ashley or Adam, one of them, talk about it far better than I could. I bet you understand that's what Joseph Smith said. He was sitting underneath a tree one day, and he said there were some golden plates came down to him, and thank God they contained a new revelation and the Book of Mormon. And listen, and you know what's really convenient? Nobody ever saw him. He delivered them back to an angel, and that angel carried them back up to heaven. And so he saw an angel, he saw golden plates, and he shipwrecked millions upon millions into hell, amen. You better not go based on mysticism, amen. Somebody gets to talking about all these things that they heard, all these things that they seen. That's not what the Bible says. Look up here at me. Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through. Oh, look here, friend. You reckon the Lord put that in there if he's going to start saving some folks by sight or by sound or by visions or by voices? Oh, no. If you got in, you got in the same way I did. Oh, thank God. God, look here. If God were to send down an angel personally to you, Sam, or he were to send a new voice to Bill Crabtree, and he didn't do it for everybody in this room, then God's a respecter of persons. And I know for a fact, according to God, God is no respecter of person. And so thank God. Hey, listen, he lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Have the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And he does it by his word. Amen. So we take this book. Listen, legalism, mysticism. Mysticism messes our kids up. Y'all know that. Look up, listen to me. Adults, listen to me right here. If you get up and you give a testimony, you start talking about the Lord talking to you or what you've seen or what you heard, you better make lock, stock, and barrel sure that that's exactly who that was. I can tell you for a fact in the book of the Revelation, the devil's going to do miracles, so you better not base it on miracles. Amen. Everybody listen to me. Amen. And you say, well, Brother Kevin, it sounds real good. I'd say ain't nobody sounded better than the devil. Amen. He'd say it looks real good. How would I say the deceiver, when he appeared to Eve, he didn't look like the devil, amen. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a sign, the devil will probably give you one, amen. That's why we don't base it on the sign. Base it on the Bible. You come to this verse right here. It comes time to die. You need to be able to put your finger on something that's real, amen. And we get on down here, watch this, and we'll get to the good part in a minute, maybe or maybe not, I don't know. Here's what the Bible says in the next part. I want you to look on down with me in verse number 21. We call this asceticism. In other words, there's a lot of folks like that today. It's what it says right here simply. He says, let me get back here in that passage. He says, touch not, taste not, and handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and the doctrine of men, question mark. In other words, what he's simply saying is, hey, some folks, they think they're going to heaven, and because they don't do what everybody else does, they think they're separated from everybody else. And so they think if you have a car, you're probably going to die and go to hell. You know, monks think they're the only people going to heaven. Y'all understand that? And listen, in Amish and the Mennonites, they think they're the only people going to heaven. They don't think you're going to heaven. And because you don't live as separated as they do. Have a good news, friend. Hey, listen, I'm not having to live separated, amen, as far as what they denote that as. I'm separate from the world because of my identity in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Hey, friend, hear me today. I thank God, and you better thank God, that we ain't got to be a part of a cult, and we ain't got to live in a commune. We can just go by the Bible and believe the Lord. Amen. And listen, those things are spoiling people all across this land. They're going to find out one day, they're going to try to get, they're going to die when they wake up in hell. They're going to say, Lord, Lord, at that great day, Lord, Lord, have we not? Boy, are they going to go down through that good list? Prophesied in thy name, done many wonderful works. Thy name cast out devils. Sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good. You ever cast it out, devil? Hey, man, I mean, listen. All that sounds pretty good. Until they get to that last part, Ty. And he says, then he shall say to them, ye that work iniquity, depart from me. I never knew you. We don't base salvation based upon who can do what, who's the loudest, who's it. Listen, I feel it's awful resistant tonight for some reason. And I want you to hear me. You better make sure. Better make sure right here. That's what it looks like to be completely spoiled. But I got good news. That's not all there is in this passage. He starts writing to those Colossian believers. He says, for ye are complete in him. Amen. In other words, what he's saying is this. Don't you let nobody add to it. Hey, you ain't got to have no mysticism added to it. Hey, you ain't got to have no legalism added to it. Hey, you ain't got to have no relativism added to it. Hey, you ain't got to have no rationalism added to it. And thank God you are as complete as you're ever going to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, listen, that in other words, let me say it like his. That means you are filled up to the brim. Amen. I got to thinking about what it is how to be complete in Christ. Read what he says here in this passage, verse 10. He said, but you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom you're circumcised with a circumcision and made without hand, and the putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God who raised him from the dead. In other words, the moment we put our faith in Christ and we become identified in Christ, everything he did, we did. Amen. And so thank God he was born without sin. And so when we is born again, we is not born of corruptible seed, but by the living word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. I mean, I'm thanking God tonight for it. That the Lord Jesus Christ did no sin and knew no sin. In him was no sin. And because of that, I'm identified with that. Amen. Yes, I don't know how to tell you this. You know why you're clean? Simply by your identification with Christ. That's it. That's all that there is. It's repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:20 said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who both loved me and gave himself for me. And so, friend, in order to get to heaven, hey, you got to be saved three ways. One way completely, and in all three tenses. In other words, we were saved. You've heard it said many time as saved from the penalty of sin. When by faith we trusted in Christ, that is salvation. And then we're being saved right now. I mean, right as we speak, as the practice of sin. That's called sanctification. And one day we'll be saved from the presence of sin, and that's glorification. And I say that's what makes us complete. Amen. My sins, listen to me, my soul is completely redeemed in Christ. Are you listening to me? Now, in order to do those three tenses, that means he had to go through, he had to do the same thing. Let's go in opposite order. In order to save me from the presence of sin, he had to be free from the presence of sin. Are y'all listening to me? I don't think anybody really fully understand just how important it was that he was born of a virgin. Wasn't born the same way you and I was born. Holy Ghost of God overshadowed her. Listen, that thing that was in her was of God. And when he came out sinless. Look at me, friend. He did not have Adam's nature on him. Are you listening? And so when he was born the sinless Lamb of God. That's, listen, in order for me to identify and be free from the presence, he had to be free from the presence. Now, in order for me to be free from the practice, be completely redeemed from the practice, he had to be completely free from the practice of sin. Are y'all listening to me? And so for 33 and a half years, he lived sinless. Such a high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Oh, yeah. That is to say, thank God, listen to me. That's one of them things that just make me happy. You understand, every time anybody looked at him, that's all they ever done was said he was sinless. That's all anybody ever could do. I mean, Pontius Pilate said, I found no fault in him at all. And whenever Herod looked at him, he said, this man's done nothing worthy of death. And Pontius Pilate said, have nothing to do with that just man. That centurion standing there said, truly this is a righteous man. And Judas Iscariot said, I betrayed the innocent blood. Hey, listen, and above all of them, and God himself testified to the pureness and the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we're complete. Y'all's awful quiet tonight. I hope you're taking it in. We're in this place tonight. We're complete in Christ because he's completely free from the presence of sin. Amen. I got to reading about this. This made me so happy I couldn't hardly stand it. It said that in those days that when they would write something, they would write it on a papyrus or vellum. And it said that the ink in those days had no acid. And it said, and the leather in those days was tanned in such a way it wouldn't absorb the ink. So what happened was whenever they would write something on top of it, because it was so pricely and so costly, that ink would just hover on top of that papyrus. And so they'd write all they wanted to write and they would leave it out. But if there ever came a time that they wanted to rewrite something, or if there ever came a time that they wanted to reuse it, all they had to do was take out a rag. And since it never was absorbed, they'd just take that rag and they'd go to wiping that right off. And it would be as if it never happened. Amen. It would be as if there was no writing at all. It never had got absorbed in them. And I'm telling you, friend, and the reason you and I stand today as righteous people in the eyes of God is simply because we have identified and been completely redeemed in Christ. Amen. Are you that way? I mean, are you complete? I mean, now listen, he's still working on me, but as far as he's concerned, I'm complete. Y'all understand? I don't have to do nothing else to get to heaven. Somebody help me right there. If I die right now, I mean, ain't nothing I got to do. It's already been done. And then thank God when we get over there and we get to look at them, I mean, saved from the presence of it, saved from the practice of it, and then saved from the penalty of it. You know what had to happen to him in order for you to be saved from the penalty of sin? That means he had to endure the penalty of sin.
And so on the cross, whenever he was up there and he was crucified, sitting underneath the wrath of a thrice holy God, and God was pouring out his punishment upon him, Isaiah 53:10, I think it is, and it said, "For it had pleased the Lord to bruise him, and he hath made his offering, his soul an offering for sin on the cross that day. He punished his son as if it was you." As if it was you. He punished the Lord Jesus Christ as if it was you. And the night I got saved and I identified with Christ, I was identified with his birth. I was identified in his life. I was identified in his death. I was identified in his burial. I was identified with his resurrection. I was identified with his ascension. And thank God, while he sits right now in heaven, I'm still identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm saying I'm completely redeemed. Amen. I want you to watch this. Not only is my soul completely redeemed, but my sins, they're completely remitted. How many sins you got you still having to pay for? That thing on? How many sins you paying for? What's the payment? What are you paying for? Let me ask you a better question. What are you paying with? What are you paying with? I mean, either you're paying for your sins or he paid for them. But it ain't both. It can't be he paid the partial bill and then you took up the tab. He didn't carry the bill and you got the tip.
No.
It don't work like that. Either he paid you out completely or you ain't paid out. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Hey, folks running around this saying they're still trying to pay. They're trying to pay for things. Friend, you'll not never do it. Let me just share this with you. Y'all pray for me just for a minute. Let me share this with you. I got to reading about what that means. Whenever it says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us. You know what that says? Listen what I read about. That's what I read about. I'm not smart enough. I just got trying to figure out what some of these words meant. And you know what I found out? Nobody knows what some of these words mean. But I figured this out. It means at least one of three things. Whenever the Lord says that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances, it was against us. It means, number one, he paid off your unpaid debt. Are y'all listening to me? We get complete. This is what it said they did. In ancient Rome, whenever they pay off a debt, said they'd take whatever that bill was and said when they get done with it, they'd take a nail. Said they'd take that banker and that banker would take out a hammer. Said he'd put a hammer and he'd take that nail and he'd put a hole right through it in a special way so that everybody would know that that bill had been completely paid off. You know what happened to my debt? You know what happened to my debt? What happened to your debt? Whether you realize it or not, the first moment you breathe the breath of God's air, you was already shaping in iniquity. And in sin did your mother conceive you. And right then, you begin to accumulate debt. And day after day after day after day, you've been accumulating a bill that you got no means whereby to pay it. And thank God, and on Calvary's cross one day, the Lord Jesus Christ went up there. Boy, I'm telling you, boy, you're talking about stirring your heart. I went up there and he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take their debt." And all that crowd that says he paid for everything that's behind you, but he didn't pay for nothing ahead of you. Every time you look at what he paid, it's always in present tense. He took it out of the way. Amen. In other words, thank God, it's always a present tense thing. What the Lord Jesus Christ has done for your soul, it was, it is, and ever shall be taken out of the way. You know what else, right? Not on the unpaid debt. I got reading about this. They said one thing that they think that it might mean. Might not have nothing to do with debt. Might have to do with the charges of a prisoner. I like that one even better. Said whenever you was arrested in Rome, they'd come out by your little cell door and they'd write all the charges. Y'all listen to me? Everything you ever done. And then they'd write the sentence that you was worthy of based upon that. And they nail it to the door right outside your prison cell. And they said, this is what they said. They said, when the day came that all of your charges were dropped or all of your sentences had been remitted, that they'd put a hammer and a nail. And then they'd fold it up. They give it to you and they put it in your pocket. So anytime anybody came around and they said that fellow there was a murderer, all they had to do was pull that thing out of their pocket, unfold it, and show them that the charges had been dropped. You know what happened on Calvary? If you're here and you're saved or lost, you know what the Lord done for your soul that day? He went right up to Calvary and he took all the charges that was against you, all the sentences that you was worthy of. Thank God, and he put his hands on the cross and all of that punishment he meted out on his son. And when he was done, he cried out some of the best words you ever read in the Bible when he said, it is finished. And when it was finished, amen. And it still is. And you say, well, preacher, what about having that something folded up to let you know that you... let you know that the charges are dropped. Well, it just so happens I got one. Amen. Yeah. Carried around with me everywhere I go. 31,102 of them. But boy, I'll tell you, some of the favorite ones is whenever the Bible gets over there. You know, over there in Romans chapter number 8. Maybe about verse number 1. Y'all help me right there. Don't die on me now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know what else it said? It said, whenever it's talking about having blotted out the handwriting, it said it was what they would do for a servant who had never finished a task. It said some servants would have to say, I owe you. It said they'd die, never having completed, never being able to reach what the master had told them to do. This is good for some of you, and some of you just staring at me. But you understand God meted out what was required of him. And ain't one of you's in here that's ever done it. We're all about the worst servants you could ever get a hold of. We write IOUs about everywhere we ever done anything. We start a job, never finish it. But the Lord Jesus Christ never did start anything he didn't finish. And so on the cross of Calvary that day, whenever he went up there, he's the only person that ever has, the only person that ever will be able to say they completely done what the Lord told them to do. And so we're complete in him. All right, listen, here's the last thing. Some of you said amen right there. I ain't preaching a while, so you just have to bear with me. I'm going to keep preaching. My soul is completely redeemed. My sins are completely remitted. And right now, my success is being completely resolved in the Lord Jesus Christ. That next verse right after that says, having spoiled the principalities and powers. Listen, let me just read it there. Having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. I want you to circle this next word. If you write in your Bible, it says, triumphing over them in it. That don't mean too much to me and you, but it meant a lot to them in their day. Here's what I read about the Romans. I had to write this down. I can't. This is what, listen, they won victories. Julie, they won all kinds of battles. But to say somebody triumphed, you had to meet some special requirements. It was the highest honor that they ever put on a general fighting a battle. Say he triumphed. Now listen, here's what it says. Here's what I read. It said, number one, he had to be the commander in field and he had to be the first in charge, not the second. Just stay with me. First thing, he could not be operating it from somewhere else. He had to come down where the battle was taking place and he had to actually fight in the battle. And you know what the Lord done when he clothed himself in flesh? He left heaven and came down, became the captain of our salvation. Here's what it said next. It said, in order to do that, said that the campaign had to be completely finished. Couldn't be any unresolved battles. It said the enemy had to be completely conquered. They could not leave anything to battle. This made me happy. It said the territory had to be advanced for the kingdom of Rome. Had to gain some ground. Listen, said he had to come home with all his men. Oh, I wish y'all to help me on that. Go home, think on that one. Said in order for the general to be considered a triumph, said when he came marching home, had to have all his men with him. I got good news. The Lord never has lost one. Amen. Like, you ain't gonna take my word for it. He's the one that said that. Amen. Amen. Never has. Now listen, this is what it said right here. It said whenever he came back, he said that the foreign enemy had to be so squelched that they couldn't rise up a resistance. And I'm telling you, friend, we're standing in that place. Now here's the good news. You know what it said would happen? Now listen, God, don't miss this. So whenever somebody really had been declared a triumph, you know what it said they'd do for them? I want everybody to stay tuned with me. I'm done preaching right after this, but I want you, this is how complete we are in Christ. It said that whenever that general would come back, Jesse, it said that somebody would run out in front of him and said the first thing you would hear would be the trumpet sounding. I just want you. Said when that general come back, he said through the streets, they'd be going out in front of him. They'd be hammering down on those trumpets, letting you know who was a-coming. Yeah. And this is what it said. Boy, I'm telling you, this makes me happy. Said right behind him would be all the spoils of war. Yeah. And everybody he had taken from the enemy. And what I got thinking about whenever the Lord led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. But right behind them comes all those ones. Listen, stay tuned now, friend. It said after them, the enemy would be a marching. Said the person who led the battle against the king, said he would be marched out through there. Said people would be all around him. They'd be spitting on him and kicking him and hitting him with things. And I thought, praise the Lord, I sure hope to God that God lets me be a part of that crowd there. I sure enough like to spit in the devil's eye on the way down through there, wouldn't you? Now watch this. It said all of a sudden, here'd come the king. It said when the king would come, everybody'd be a-standing. And it said, as the king would come down through there, that just as soon as he got to where they're at, everybody just start bowing down. That's not where it ends. This is what made me so happy. I couldn't hardly stand it. It said after he came through, said you'd start hearing something in the background. And said right behind him would be all them soldiers that he had led in battle. And they'd scream three words over and over and over again. They'd say triumphant, triumphant, triumphant. And it said all those soldiers in unison would be crying that out as they followed the king down through the streets. And when they finally got to where they're getting to, whoever that, I keep saying king, I mean general. Said when they get down to wherever that general was at, said the Caesar would come down and he'd lay a new crown on his head. Coronate him.
Yeah.
And they'd say he's the triumphant general. And for the rest of his life, he would be known simply as triumphant. You know what happened on Calvary? Listen, that's why I don't need anything else. I'm not looking for nothing else. I don't need nothing to add to it. I don't need your rules. I don't need your regulations. I don't need your emotionalism. I don't have to have your sensationalism. I don't need none of that. I am complete in Christ. When I go to die, I don't have to go and try to drag up some emotional experience to say that's what I'm accounting on. When it comes my time to die, I'm resting in an eternal God who wrote those words in his eternal book. And friend, if he lied in this book, then we're all in trouble. But he didn't lie. I've cleared my heart. Let's stand to our feet.